Welcome to Calvary Church. We hope you enjoy our latest message. For more information, you can check us out at calvarysimcoe.com or you can visit us on Facebook or Instagram.
Turn to Revelation chapter 22. We are living in uncertain times. How many would agree we're living in uncertain times? We're living in times where there's actually an increased, it seems, disdain, and I wouldn't quite say we're persecuted yet. You know, we as North Americans think we're persecuted because not enough people like our Facebook page, right? But we are living in a time when there is increased hostility towards the church, the things of God, and the people of God, and the Jesus that we serve. Who would agree with that? And the conditions of the world that we are living in are much like the conditions that John wrote the book of Revelation to. It was initially written to seven congregations of different sizes, of even different economic abilities, but it was written to seven churches that were experiencing increased hostility towards their faith. And John actually received this revelation. Jesus appeared to John while he was on a penal island imprisoned for his faith in Christ to encourage those churches. In fact, history and early church fathers told us John was the only disciple not to be martyred. And they tried to kill him. At one point, they tried to put him in boiling oil, which was one of the preferred ways of killing Christians around when John was alive. They tried to put him in boiling oil, but history tells us that John came out unscathed. And they didn't know what to do with him, so they stuck him on an island called Patmos, where he wouldn't have any influence to preach and teach in the churches, and it was there that he received the revelation of Jesus. So let's turn to Revelation 22. And Jesus wanted John to write this, please hear me, to encourage, can you say that word with me? Encourage the seven churches. In many ways, we've turned the book of Revelation into something that scares people. But its purpose was meant to, say it again, encourage. So let's read Revelation 22, starting at verse 12. This is Jesus speaking. Look, I am coming soon and my reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. But I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you to give this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So Revelation was written around 75 to 90 AD. And this is literally the last time that Jesus speaks in such an audible way, and the canon, the scriptures are closed at this point. And so in the last chapter of Revelation, Jesus uses some terms for himself that are actually really loaded, and we'll look at those in a minute. But the first thing that we read this morning was, the Lord said, look, I am coming soon. There should be a few believers in here who say, amen, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I am coming soon. I really believe that if you look to Revelation to try to neatly package the second coming, the rapture, the return of Christ, whatever you happen to believe in, if you're looking to find a neatly packaged little system of belief, you're reading Revelation wrong. If you're looking to read Revelation to find out all the bad stuff that will happen, who the next Antichrist is, or if Donald Trump is the next John the Baptist, or if Donald Trump's the next Antichrist, it just depends what YouTube preacher you listen to. You're reading Revelation wrong. Revelation is about a king who has never been defeated, death couldn't defeat him, Satan couldn't defeat him, and soon he's coming back and he will literally conquer the world and rule and reign in righteousness. That's what Revelation is about. Revelation is about a soon coming king, King Jesus. He promised his own disciples, I'm going away, But I'm going to get a place ready for you, and I'll come back and take you with me. And when he returned to heaven, as he was lifted up before the disciples, literally lifted up and ascended back to heaven, he made this statement. He told them he would come back, but then suddenly, the Bible says, as they were still gazing, kind of, he was getting smaller and smaller, and they were looking. It said, suddenly, two men in white, we know them to be angels, appeared and said, "Why do you stand looking into the sky? This very same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And here in Revelation 22, Jesus reminds us, "I am coming soon." We must never forget that we're not forgotten, we're not forsaken, we're not abandoned. No matter how things look in the world, no matter how tough of a season you are going through, no matter how dark it may seem, our hope and our confidence is in two things: the power of God in our midst while we walk on this earth, and the soon return of Jesus Christ. So, once he comes back, it's final. History as we know it will come to a close. Many of our friends and co-workers, classmates and neighbors live as if there's no day of reckoning. They live as if Jesus won't return and life will just keep going on as it always has. People's cynicism and disregard for the things of God is a sure sign of his very return. Listen to what his own apostle Peter wrote. He said, first of all, you must understand. So first, Peter says, here's the first thing that we've got to get our heads around. In the last days, before Jesus returns, in the last days, there will be scoffers. They'll come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on since it has at the beginning of creation." This disregard and the cynicism of the world, not just about Jesus' return, but the faith that we have and the God that we serve and the Bible that we live by, the growing cynicism in the world, Peter said, first off, understand it's going to increase. So the cynicism in the world actually shows that Jesus' return is just around the corner. The Bible closes out with this book, Revelation. Revelation has 22 chapters. Chapter 22 has 21 verses. Of those 21 verses, 7 are dedicated to things that Jesus said. Of those 7 verses in the last chapter of Scripture, 3 times the Lord states, "I am coming soon." The very last time Jesus breathes upon someone to write Scripture, the very last thing he says is, "I am coming soon." Jesus hasn't lied to me yet, and I believe that's true. Amen? So make no doubt, no mistake, he's coming back for you. One day every scoffer and every cynic who mocked his name will wish they'd called out to his name. One day, every person who loves him and longs for his appearing will say, "It was worth it all." My parents used to sing. I've said this many times before. I didn't grow up listening to a lot of records. I mean, I personally had records, but in our home, our worship was my dad at the piano and my mom singing. And one of the songs they would sing was, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus," just to look upon his face. It will be worth it, friends, when you stand face to face with Jesus. And I believe it's just around the corner. And so, all through Revelation, the phrase, "To the one who overcomes, I will give." To overcome means that it speaks of struggle, of being tested, of triumphing, of determination, of single-minded resolve, of not giving up, giving in, or wimping out. To the one who overcomes, I will give of the fruit of the tree of life. I will give the crown of life. To the one who overcomes, the Lord Jesus said. And so we press on, we endure, we sacrifice, and we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, because there is coming a day when everything that we did for him, every sacrifice we made, every time that it cost us something, we will say, "It is worth it now that I'm with him face to face." Because Jesus said, "I am coming soon." I saw a bumper sticker a few years ago on the Queensway, and it said, "Jesus is coming, look busy." That's not what Jesus said. He said, "I am coming soon, and I'm bringing my reward with me." If that's not motivation to live and hold the things of this life really loosely, I hope you're a tither. I hope you're generous to the work of the Lord, because there's coming a day when what you've spent on this earth will stay behind, but what you have sown will be treasure stored in heaven. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. And so I think one of the misunderstandings that we have is that we will all be rewarded equally. There's a lot of Christians that believe Jesus is a socialist. That somehow when we stand before him and he's bringing his reward, that we're all going to be rewarded equally. Please don't misunderstand me. The only way, Jesus said, that we can be reconciled to the Father, the only way that we can go to the Father and live with him for eternity was through Jesus. That's a free gift that God gave us through his death on the cross. Amen? But Jesus makes this statement, I am coming and I'm bringing my reward with me. And I will give to each one as they have done. So we will all spend eternity with him, but our eternities will all look different based on what we do. Many of Jesus' parables are about stewarding and living with that in mind, that one day we will stand before him and we will give an account, not for our salvation if we put our faith in Jesus, but we'll give an account for what we did with the resources, the time, the money, with what we spoke with our mouth, the people that we helped. How Jesus said, if you even give a glass of cold water to one of my little ones because they belong to me, what does he say? It won't go unrewarded. Jesus is coming soon. He's bringing his reward with him. And he'll give to each one of us as we have done. And so one of the motives for the Holy Spirit to transform us is to prepare us for eternity, for glory. He's preparing us. He's shifting us from having a life here focus to a eternity focus. That's part of what he's doing in the transformation process. Verse 13, Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Alpha and Omega are simply the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. It'd be just as equally correct to say Jesus is the A and the Z or the A and the Z, depending what side of the board. We have some people from America here this morning. A to Z, A to Z. It was borrowing a Hebrew usage. When the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet were used, it was more than a description of the start or the end of something. It meant that something had come to completion. And so what Jesus is revealing about himself is, I'm not just the first and the last, but I am the one who completes everything. I am the beginning and the end and everything in between. And that's powerful. He fills all. He is the author, the cause of all things, and he's the end. He determines the beginning and writes the script of history and will bring it to its conclusion. The times and seasons are in his hand. Daniel 20, verse 21. Some of you aren't going to like this because of, some of you need to read this every election time. Are you ready? Daniel 2, 21. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. Just thought I'd throw that out there. There is never an uh-oh moment for God. God will never say, I didn't see that coming. That took me off guard. That caught me by surprise. How am I gonna work this out? Because he's not just at the beginning, he's not just at the end. Everything. He fills out everything in between. In fact, Acts 17, 28 says that in him we live, we move, and we have our very being. Isaiah 44, 6, this is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord of heaven's armies. I am the first and the last, and there is no other God besides me. Everything originates, and everything will come to its conclusion in his time and his purposes. Everything ultimately and only finds its conclusion in him. Why is there so much confusion in the world? Identity confusion, gender confusion, 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 confusion. Because it's in him we live and move and have our being. Our creator knows our purpose. And the farther away we move from our creator, the farther away we become confused about who we are and what we're to be about. Isaiah 44, 7, who is like me? Let that man or woman step forward and prove to you his power. Let them do as I have done since ancient of times when I established a people and explained its future. And so God had the first word in history, let there be light. And God will have the final word in history as we know it. Friends, he is in control. In him we live, we move, we have our being. Your future is not determined by fate or circumstance. It's not even bound by your weakness or shortcomings. If you are living a life according to Jesus' prayer, God, daily let your kingdom come, let your will be done, God will always establish his plans and his purposes for you. He has already determined the future that is above and beyond anything you could ever ask or imagine for yourself. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than I could ever ask or imagine and than you could ever ask or imagine. Are you thankful for that? I know, and I've said it, and I'm sure you have. Well, I can imagine a lot more. His plans for us are good. We've sang all morning about his faithfulness, his goodness, and his love. We can rest knowing that if he has the history of the world under control, he's got our lives under control if we yield to him. That's why we submit to him. Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were born or brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Just as we wrap up, let's think about the implications of this truth as Jesus, the Alpha and Omega. I've been looking over some of my messages, and I say this a lot, but I have dogs and I walk them, and that's where I do a lot of my prayer, okay? So don't judge me. I was walking yesterday, and I again was in awe over the fact that the God of the universe was right there with me, willing to have a conversation with me. The Word, John called Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was also with God in the beginning. That Word is still speaking, and he still wants to speak to you and I. Isn't that amazing? So who is this Jesus that we're in relationship with? Hebrews 1:3 tells us that he sustains all things by the power of his word. In other words, the laws of thermodynamics, the laws of the planetary solar systems and how everything works around it, he's the one that sustains it. Should Jesus stop speaking the sustaining word over that, it's all going to stop. He sustains all things by the power of his word. Listen to what scientists tell us. They tell us that the universe is ever expanding. New worlds are being birthed and borders are stretching every day. The creative power and expression of God is still speaking and the universe is still expanding. That's just science backing up what we already know about our God. Amen? And the distance to the edge, are you ready for this? The distance to the edge. Tyler, I know you're a math guy. You can maybe work this out and just email it to me and I'll show it next week. But the distance to the edge of our known discernible universe is 46 billion light years away. I suspect that's a lot of zeros. But here's perspective. Our nearest star, the Proxima Centauri, is only a short jump away at 4.35 light years away. It's literally just, you know, next door around the block. So 4.35 light years away is 39,900,000,000,000,000 kilometers away. Like, again, literally just backyard. We can hear their dogs barking at night. That's how close it is. So the light we see from our nearest discernible star takes 4.5 years to reach Earth. If you were to go out and able to pinpoint that star, the light that you are seeing is already 4.5 years old. If that star were to burn out, it would take us 4.5 years to know that it's even stopped shining its light. And again, it's practically next door. The outer limits, the edge of the universe that we can discern is 46 billion light years away. Listen to what Colossians says. For in him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Maybe you're watching today. Maybe you're here today and you're a cynic. Really? You're going to tell me that your God, your Jesus created all that? Listen, it's less of a leap to believe that there is a high intelligence behind a 46 billion light year away universe that's expanding than it just randomly happened. I believe people that don't believe in the causality of God, the creator God, they have way more faith than I have. Because I'm telling you right now, if I went home and threw IKEA furniture in my dryer, and turn it on, it ain't going to come out IKEA furniture. No matter how long I keep it in there. But people tell us that everything that is came about by random chance. Just slow the process down over billions of years. No, folks. There is a God, and his name is Jesus. And the Bible tells us that by him and through him, all things that were made that have been made, and he holds it all together. Isaiah, that God says that I measure off the universe in the breadth of my hand. 46 billion light years God holds in his hands and says, I'm holding this whole thing together. How big is the God that we serve? How big is the Jesus that appeared to John in Revelation and said, I am coming soon. Friends, Jesus is coming soon. Yeah. And so when you call on the name of the one who's holding that all together, I encourage you, think about the God. Think about the Jesus who, by the power of his word, sustains a universe that's expanding at 46 billion light years at its edge. Think of how capable he is to handle your situations and your problems. Why do you think demons tremble at Jesus' name? Why do you think angels and saints in heaven fall down in awe and adoration at the mention of his name? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's authority in the name of Jesus. There's glory in his name. Our neighbors and friends may not know it yet, but friends, I believe Jesus is coming back, and we need to be loving on and praying for and sharing Christ to the people in our lives, because he is coming back. Amen. And so the Alpha and Omega said, I'm coming back very soon, and one day it'll be worth it. So to the ones who overcome, I encourage you, keep letting the Holy Spirit transform you. That's our theme for this year, because what he's actually doing is he's preparing this house for my eternal home. Because Jesus, I'm going to say it again, is coming back. By the way, the scriptures tell us that God isn't slow in keeping his promise of return. It's not like God's lost track of time. The Bible tells us that God isn't slow in keeping his promise, but he's actually waiting so that others might come to faith and not be left behind. And so while if you and I wake up tomorrow and Jesus hasn't returned, then we still have yet another opportunity to go and be those apostolic people that go and bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. We still have that opportunity to pastor somebody and mentor someone and bring them to faith in Jesus. But I just want to say this as we close. Can you stand as we close? Whatever mountain you face today, whether it be sickness or discouragement, impossibility, it could be a relational problem, a financial problem, your Alpha and Omega is more than capable to meet your every need. And he's coming back for you. He's coming back for you. So we're going to dismiss the service, and Vicky and the prayer team, normally they'd come forward, but this morning we're going to have them go. If you go out through the back doors and just turn immediately left into a room called the fireside room, there will be people that are waiting there who can pray for you. On any given week, we have people who have a sickness in their body. They have a situation that they want someone to come alongside and come in agreement with them. And our prayer team is more than happy to do that and take the time. And by going in that room, there'll be no rush for that, okay? And so please don't leave without letting us pray for you. For those who are going to stay and help us unbolt and even collapse some of these pews, if you can go out through these doors when I dismiss you, Mallard and Rico are at the back. They're going to be standing over by the welcome desk where usually our welcome team is, where you give your offering or pick up your information packets. They will be there to meet you. They're going to give some instructions. And then in about 10 minutes at 12 o'clock, those who are staying are all going to come back. And we're going to get these pews out of here to those who want them. And we're going to prepare the other ones for the church. For the rest of us, as you go this week, I just want to speak blessing over you. Is that okay? So the word tells us that the Bible claims, not the Bible claims, but in Revelation, there's the cry that the Holy Spirit has. The Spirit and the bride cry out, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So can we say that? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Can we say that again? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, that is the Spirit of God and the bride, your people. Our cry is that we want to see you face to face. We want you to return. Lord, we see the evil and the wicked and the brokenness that goes on in this world. And there is something in us that wants to see you come and make all things right. But, Lord, however, please don't come until our loved ones can come to faith in you. And so, Lord, it's up to us to hasten your return by being faithful with the good news, the gospel message that we have to share. And so I pray that all of us, not just the team that's going to Mexico, all of us are being sent out today into a mission field. All of us are being sent out with the love of God in our hearts and the resources that we have and the leading and guiding and power of the Holy Spirit to be able to share you with the world that needs you. So find us faithful. And now I speak blessing. I pray that the love of God the Father, the mighty, powerful name of Jesus, and the ministry and fellowship of the Holy Spirit would go with each one until we gather again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you are blessed and encouraged by the message today.